the book of Psalms, Psalm 16 we're looking at tonight. You'll find that on page 596 in the Pew Bible. Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust. O my soul, Thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to Thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, we thank thee for the privilege of being here in thy house tonight. We have enjoyed already being able to sing the praises of thy holy name. Lord, we can say as the psalmist did, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up into the house of the Lord. Father, we're thankful for that deep work of grace that has been done in us, that desire after the things of God, the desire to be in the things of the Lord, to hear and to fellowship with thy people. This is not something that comes naturally to us. It is something that is evident of a deep work of the Holy Spirit within our hearts. And so, Lord, tonight we give thanks for this and pray as we come now to the final moments of our service. We look into the Word we have, the Bible open in front of us. Give us understanding, I pray. Lord, take away everything that would distract us. Take away everything that would be a temptation to wander off and draw us nearer to thyself tonight. Lord, hear our prayer. We need thee, Lord. Blessed Holy Spirit, need thee tonight to come and to give us understanding. Give us, Lord, what we do not have ourselves, and which we cannot possibly muster up from within. Teach us out of thy truth. Lord, fill me, I pray, with thy power. Give me the ability to speak the word clearly, plainly, faithfully, that everyone listening would also have the hearing ear and the understanding heart. Dear Father, bless us, we pray. Defeat the devil in this meeting. Defeat him in our lives, that we might ever walk close to thee. Father, we depend upon thee and pray all these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. I want to leave with you tonight the first words of the first verse of this psalm. where it says, "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust." This verse has been recently impressed upon my own heart as I was speaking to someone and encouraging them to make it the model for this incoming year. Make it the text that you would put over your own heart and life, a prayer. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. We know that the Lord Jesus is found in all of Scripture. We know that it is written from Him, of Him, from Genesis to Malachi, and from Matthew to Revelation. He is found in the volume of the book, in the law, the prophets, and the Psalms, as He told those as He walked on the road to Emmaus, and He unfolded the Scripture, and unfolded and revealed Himself in the Word of God at that particular time. The problem that we often have is we have a lack of perception. We know that the Lord is in the Scripture, but there are things that come across our pathway, maybe coldness of heart, maybe it's a dullness of spirit, maybe it could be a whole lot of other distractions, but we fail often to see the Lord Jesus in the Scripture, in the Word of God, as we are doing our own devotions. But He is there. He is there on every page. We need to pray for that spiritual insight, that divine wisdom from God, and pray continually for the Lord to take away that hardness and dullness. Take the scales from our eyes, that we might see and behold the wonder and the beauty of our Redeemer. Sometimes the Lord Jesus in the Old Testament comes to us in way of shadow or in type. We see that evidently through the book of Leviticus. We see it in the life of Joseph. We can see it in Exodus as the blood was applied over the doorpost of the people of God, the evidence of the sacrifice and the blood shedding of the Lord Jesus. Oh, He is there so many times, and so many times very evident. But when you come to a psalm that we have read tonight, the Savior is so clearly present there that we would need to be spiritually blind and very hard of heart if we were to miss Him. This is reinforced to us because in the New Testament, there are two portions of Scripture dealt with by two different of the apostles, Peter and Paul, and they both refer to Psalm 16 dealing with the resurrection of Christ. That His soul, specifically referring to the 10th verse, His soul would not see corruption, would not be left in hell. The word is Sheol, the place of the grave, of the departed, dead. And the Savior would not be left there, but He would rise gloriously from the grave, and He would show that He has power over death as well. Having known this truth from the New Testament authority upon Psalm 16, when we read it again, it is a most sensitive prayer that the Lord Jesus is praying. And so we're struck by the opening words, really asking ourselves the question, why would the Savior have to pray this prayer? Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I trust. Ah, yes, friends, because when we think of the Lord's life, we realize that God did indeed preserve Him from the terror of Herod, preserved Him from the time that Herod slew every child 2 years of age and under, when he felt there was a threat to his throne, when a king had been born. Fulfilled prophecy of Micah 5 and 2. And the very Jewish scholars at the time that were called to give evidence to Herod said, oh yes, this is the prophecy of the Word of God, and in Bethlehem of Judea is where the king will be born. And so Herod did his worst in order to annihilate that threat to his throne, and God preserved him by taking him away with Joseph and Mary. And the Savior comes back on the scene now and commences his ministry. And at the very beginning, he is taken out into the wilderness, into the place of temptation. And yes, the living God preserved, protected his only begotten Son there against the wild beasts of the desert, that is true. But much more, my friend, against Satan and the temptations that he brought against him there, the Lord preserved and protected him. You think of the Savior as he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, pouring out his heart before the Lord in great agony, sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. And there, as the Lord Jesus Christ wrestled with the powers and forces of hell, there, God preserved him. The humanness, the human nature of the Lord Jesus Christ needed to have the divine preservation of the Lord in him, in his life. And we see this followed all the way through. And yes, friend, when he stood before Pilate, and when his body was so horribly abused by the mocking crowd, yes, the Lord Jesus was preserved, and he trusted in him. But there is something here that we can relate to in this. Because if the Lord needed himself to be preserved in these ways, how much more do we as his children, as sons and daughters of God, and as David prayed in this psalm himself, that the Lord would preserve him? There is no wonder, my friend, that the psalmist David called this the miktan of David, or as some commentators say, it is the golden psalm. A golden psalm. Why? Because it is precious. It is valuable to draw the lessons for our own faith and our own life. And yes, as Matthew Henry, the commentator, wrote, a very precious one, more to be valued by us than gold, yea, than much fine gold, because it speaks so plainly of Christ and his resurrection, who is the true treasure hidden in the field of the Old Testament. The Lord Jesus was touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knew that we had great need. And oh, friend, he knows our needs tonight. We have read from Hebrews 13 where the Lord Jesus again reassures us that he will be by our side, never to leave us, never to forsake us. The Savior knew what it was to be viciously tempted of the evil one. And so when we come, as we will tonight, and pray this prayer, I challenge each one who is a true child of God, don't think that you do not have to make a prayer like this to come and seek the Lord and pray that he would preserve you. I pray that tonight for myself. And I challenge this week, as I've already mentioned, that one who needed to have some encouragement, make this the motto of your life. Make this the motto to set aside so that you can pray this. When we think about it from our perspective, what are we asking the Lord to do for us when we are saying and praying, Lord, preserve me? What do we need to be preserved from? Just the same way that Christ himself face the full attack of the devil against him, so you and I need to pray that we will be preserved from satanic power and the attack of the evil one. He is called, for good reason, the adversary. He is the adversary and the accuser of the brethren. And Satan will come against us and present the challenge as he did against Job, as Satan went before God. And the Lord said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And so Satan will come against us, and he will come with all his power unleashed. And you can be sure, friend, that because Satan is a supernatural being, we have no human power that we can muster ourselves against this evil force. If the Savior, and understand this, friend, in the context of who we know the Lord Jesus is, if the Savior prayed this prayer, "Lord, preserve me," how much more, friend, do we as frail human beings need to be preserved from the attack of this great enemy, whom we are no match for? We have no power against him. He is a supernatural being, and we are very, very frail, physical, temporal characters and creatures. Friend, tonight, the devil has a plan to undermine your Christian life. He cannot take you out of the hand of God. Once the Lord has saved you, you are saved by his grace for all eternity. That is a certain truth. But what now will he try to do to our lives? He will try to nullify our testimonies. He will try to make us as powerless as he possibly can. And therefore, believer, you need to pray tonight and pray with all your heart. Preserve me, O God, from the powers of the devil that I am unable to stand against. For he is too great a foe, too great an enemy. When we pray for the Lord to preserve us from the evil one, God has given us in Ephesians 6, which we have been studying, he has given us the antidote. He has given us the tools that will help us and aid us as we put on the armor of God by prayer and by faith. And let us be astute in this matter. Let us not think for a moment that we dare go out into the enemy, the warfare of the evil one, without being properly protected. Ah, friends, we need to have the Lord's armor on us in order to defend ourselves against the great enemy of our souls. How foolish it is for any one of us to feel or think that I can handle this on my own. I can go forward against this enemy, and I do not need to worry about this foe. It would only be the height of the greatest foolhardiness and foolishness for us to go against the enemy of our souls without this prayer upon our hearts: preserve me, O God, for I need thy preservation. Do you know what that speaks of? It speaks of someone who realizes their own weakness and their own powerlessness. And as children of God, we come to the Lord and we say, "Father, I have no might against this great enemy. I have no power against him. Therefore, I need your intervention. I need to be preserved by thee, my Lord." And it evokes in us the sense of our dependency upon our God. And that's exactly the place where we need to be, to realize our dependency and to realize that we have no strength, we have no might, we have no power against this great foe that comes against us. We also need to pray this prayer, that we will be preserved from ourselves. Preserved from self. Self is the greatest enemy we have, really, apart from the devil, of course. But we think about our own independency. We think about what that did for us in our original parents, for that desire of being independent from the authority of God over their lives. It wreaked havoc upon them and upon all humanity. So this spirit of independency or of self-fulfillment is a great problem for us. It will be a problem, friend, in your own communion with God. It will be a problem in the relationships that we have one with another. It will be a problem in your marriage. It will be a problem among your children. Because self-sufficiency, it speaks and has the equal sign next to pride. And when we are lifted up with pride in ourselves, it is exactly the very sin that drew Satan out of heaven. For he exalted himself, and he believed that he could be equal to the Most High God. Friends, let us realize who we are and what we are, and to know that in ourselves we are completely helpless. And if we take any confidence in our flesh, we will fail miserably. Paul said, I have no confidence in the flesh. Of all the New Testament characters that could say he had confidence in the flesh, but he said, no, I depend completely upon the Savior. And when he prayed for the Lord to remove the thorn in his side, the Lord said, no, you're going to maintain and have this thorn so that you will be more dependent upon me. And my grace will be sufficient for you in every time, friend, of your need. Self gets in the way so many times. And we need to pray that God will preserve us. He will protect us from what we will do in our own Christian life. You see, self rises up. And we've already read about this, the root of bitterness. In the congregation of the people of God, when we allow ourselves to take the prominent position, we find, therefore, that when someone speaks against us, or we assume that they have spoken against us, or there has been some issue of relationship that has broken down, and we allow this bitterness to build up inside us, why, friends, it will destroy our witness, our testimony. It will destroy harmony in the house of prayer, in the place of fellowship. And we will not be able to be a combined witness for good used by God for His power and the extension of His kingdom. No, our testimony will be stopped when we allow self to get the upper hand. And therefore, friend, let us pray this prayer. Lord, preserve me. Preserve me from myself. And when we think about the Lord answering that prayer and us asking for the Lord to preserve us from our own willfulness, our own desires, does it not also extend in the need we have to pray for the Lord to preserve us from fulfilling our own selfish desires, our own sinful desires? Satan, of course, brings many temptations against us. And the Lord has promised that there is no test or temptation that is brought against us that He will not give us grace to overcome. And yet it's a combination of our own willfulness and selfishness that we will proceed beyond the block that the Lord has put in front of us, and we will progress onward to that temptation, to the fulfilling of it ourselves. You see, it's not the thought, the temptation placed in our mind, the thought is not the sin. until we dwell upon that thought and make it our own possession. We then possess that thought in ourselves, and the more we dwell upon it and turn it in our hearts, it then becomes our own thought, our own sin. Friend, if there's any place today that affects us on this in this area, it has to be in the great sin of this era, and it has to do with the visual stimulation. Things that come through the eye gate. Either it is by the movie, the video, by the internet. These warnings, they cannot be presented with too great a care. Because, friends, as we think about the danger that faces us in this technological age, this age of social media, this age when we are bombarded from every direction. If it's not by advertisements, it's by billboards. If it's not by that, it's by the ads that pop up on the screen of your computer. And then it leads from one thing to another thing, and surfing on the internet, which presents itself as a great curse. Maybe I'm speaking to someone here tonight, and you have already fallen victim to that sin of fulfilling your own selfish lusts and desires. And Satan has got the hooks and his teeth into you. Friend, I want to say to you tonight with all the solemnity that I can, this prayer must be prayed, it must be pled by you on your face, on your knees before God. Preserve me, O Lord, for in Thee do I put my trust. Unless that is your heart's desire, you will be consumed with this sin. You will be torn apart by it. The damages, the lasting damages of this will not be soon repaired. Yes, friend, you need to pray. I need to pray for God's preserving grace in my life. And has He not given to us in the New Testament that great promise in Hebrews 4 and 16? Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of our need. Helping grace. And that's exactly what this psalm is speaking about as we pray. We're coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, I need help, for I have no might, I have no power, I have no energy against this great foe, this great temptation. It is a tidal wave that comes over us. It is something we have no power. It just washes our feet out from underneath us. We must be prepared, friends, to face the battle of this day. And unless we are stalwart, unless we are fully dependent upon the Lord, recognizing that ourselves and in us, we have nothing whereby we can stand against this. Let us pray again tonight. Pray with all our hearts. Pray in the Holy Spirit that He will enable us. He will give us His grace. He will give us His power, that only power that is necessary to deliver from these sins. Satan's attack, the attack of self. Sometimes, you know, Satan gets blamed for things that he's not really responsible for. He gets blamed for things that really simply are the result of our own sinful and corrupt nature and our own lustful desires. Now, friends, pray that God would preserve you. Sometimes, you know, the majority of the application of this is directed toward men, the internet use. Women are not immune from these things, the thoughts of the mind. fantasies, things that take away from the sacredness of the marriage. Ah, friends, let us be very, very careful about these issues and to bring them before the Lord and say for all of us to humble ourselves before God and that He would save us from being spoiled. The word preserving and to pray for preserving is exactly the opposite of spoiling. And if we allow ourselves to go down those roads, indeed our testimony will be spoiled and there will be a great difficulty in coming back from that. Now, friend, let me tell you this. If yours is the case where maybe you have to say that the devil has got the upper hand and my flesh has got the upper hand on me on this one, and I feel that there's no hope for me. No, there is hope, friend. Don't think you've come to the point where there is no way out. God always gives us a way out. And He promises, I will restore unto you the years that the locusts of sin have eaten. Yes, there is a way back from the dark paths of sin. But it begins with us humbling ourselves before God. It begins with us seeing our own need. It begins with us realizing that without and apart from the Lord's grace, I can't do anything. I need Him. And the more we know we need Him, the more we pray this prayer continually through the day. I cannot go a moment of the day without the Lord's preserving grace. I need Him, friend. You need Him. Therefore, let us pray that the Lord would keep us from spoiling and going bad by His Holy Spirit abiding in us. And by knowing that that abiding Spirit and the power of the Holy Ghost indwelling in us is the greatest remedy that we have. Have you ever prayed when you're in the throes of some temptation? Have you ever prayed in the name of Christ and on the ground of His precious blood? You pray that prayer. The next time you are going through a temptation and it seems that the fire is hot on you, pray that prayer through the power of the merit of Jesus Christ and through His blood. And you will find that the devil will flee from you as he is resisted. And the Lord will enable you by His grace. We are to be preserved from these things. But you know, there's another aspect to this, which I think is the positive side and good for us, that we would pray that the Lord would preserve us unto His glory. He would preserve us for the positive testimony that we are to have for Him. For what is man's chief end? But it is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And so as a Christian, what do you want of your life? I want of my life that I will honor the Lord. I want of my life that I will glorify Him. Therefore I pray, Lord, preserve me that I may fulfill this purpose. In everything we do, friend, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. In Revelation chapter 7, we read these words, therefore are they before the throne of God, and they serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. In the presence of the glory of God. You see, friend, that's what we are aiming toward at the end when we come to be with Christ. We will stand with Him. We will bask in the light of His glory. Let us abide in that glory here and now. Is it possible? It would not be possible unless the Lord had provided for us the means through His Spirit that we might glorify Him in our life, with our words, through our actions, with our will, that we will glorify Him in the way we conduct our lives and our business every single day. The Lord is glorified in and through us. We pray that God would preserve us so that we might be useful in His kingdom in the gathering in of a harvest. We've been praying for some time in our congregation for the Lord to move with a great awakening, a great move of the saving of sinners. We pray that in our outreach, whether it's personally or through the church ministry, that God will use us. There's no greater joy for a Christian than to see someone won for Christ. There is no greater thrill, friend, than to lead someone to the Lord. And I pray, and I would ask you to pray, that the Lord would preserve us for this purpose, that we might see sinners converted. And yes, to see that harvest growing and the gain toward others, that others would come to feast on Him, to see their own Christian walk develop and grow and grow and grow. That's what we are about in the ministry of the Lord. God may preserve us. The psalmist said, "Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I place my trust." This was an active thing. He was consciously placing His trust upon Him. Why, that's an act of faith, friend. That's a step of faith where you say, "I cannot of myself. I need the power of God. I need to depend upon Him. Therefore, I place my trust upon the Lord." And this word is given to us. And every time you think and pray of it, think about your Savior. Think of how the Lord preserved Him. And He has promised also to be our aid, our guide, our protector, our keeper. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Someone might be thinking in their mind just now, it's okay for you as a preacher, it's okay for you as a pastor. You can pray these things, you can talk about these things, but you're not where I am right now. You're not right down where the rubber meets the road sort of a situation. And you don't know what's going on in my life, and you don't know how difficult it is for me. Let me just correct your thinking. I know exactly how it is for you. For I have been and continue to be in the throes of struggle against the temptations of the evil one, because if the devil can put his attack against a man of God, a pastor of a church, then he's going to concentrate his attacks against him. So yes, friends, I know exactly what you are feeling, what you are going through, and I pray for you and you pray for me, because we need to sustain each other. We need to hold each other up before God's throne. And we all need this portion, this abundant portion of God's preserving and keeping grace. And you know, His promises are certain. They are sure. They are true. They are things that you can take to the bank, as Mr. Spurgeon calls it, the checkbook of the bank of faith. We can bring these things to the Lord, and these promises God will provide. And if you're still struggling through it and you say, "Well, I have prayed these prayers before and I don't seem to be getting anywhere with them," and friend, pray on. Pray through. "This kind cometh not forth but by prayer and fasting," and to come before God and cry out to Him, "Lord, preserve my soul." And as you pray the prayer, you will see God answer. He must answer for the honor of His own name. And He will answer. You will come back to praise His name for every time He gives deliverance, for every time you see the Lord glorified in your own life. You will praise Him more and more each day. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Dear Father, tonight I ask that this word would penetrate deep into all our souls. For there is no man and no woman here that does not need to pray this. And Lord, I ask that we would have a good, honest look at ourselves, and we would come to Thee openly and say, "Oh God, take me. Turn the searchlight of Thy word upon my heart. And, O Lord, to the deep crevices of our heart, those areas where are the hidden chambers, maybe where things have been hiding out for some time. O God, give us the grace necessary to place them open before Thee. And, dear God, we would put them all under the blood of Christ and pray for cleansing, pray for forgiveness, pray, O God, for healing, pray for restoration. Lord, we need this. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. Empower us. For Lord, I know that there can be no power and no progress and no going forward unless we have the Spirit in abundance. Therefore, hear our prayers tonight. And Lord, now as we sing this, our closing hymn, and as we draw near around the table, draw near with us, we pray, and bless us. We pray these things in Jesus' worthy name. Amen.